This is David Wolford, and it is February the 13th. I'm in Covington, Kentucky, here with Mr. Fred Hollis. How you doing today, Mr. Hollis?
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, after the snow. We get that out of the way. Hopefully we don't need any more.
We've had a heck of a snowstorm yesterday.
That's right.
And we're here today to talk a little bit about Mr. Hollis's experience in Covington pretty much in the 50s, I guess maybe even late 40s and on up through to today. So just to start us off, just tell me a little bit about your childhood and growing up in Covington and what that was like.
Yes, I've lived here all my life except for 2 years spent in the Marine Corps in Vietnam. I've lived here my entire life. I went to grade school at Our Savior. Our whole family went there. And eventually from there, I went to Covington Catholic High School. I was the third or fourth black. My brother was the first minority to graduate from a high school in Northern Kentucky, an integrated school. My brother was the first one to graduate, Henry Hollis.
First one to graduate from any integrated high
school? That's correct.
High school?
He was the first one to graduate from an integrated high school. I've attended the University of Cincinnati. I have 2 degrees, Northern Kentucky University. There are 2 Bachelor of Science degrees. I have worked here in Covington as a contract compliance officer. In fact, I did some community organization work in Bloomington, Indiana, where Bobby Knight was at. And also, I did some, I worked for the Model Cities program. You may not be familiar with that, but that was a program before we have community development block grant funds. Monies. I retired after 22 years working for the city as their contract compliance officer. I handled all the federal contracts using federal money for 22 years.
For the urban developments and such?
That's correct, for urban development. Yeah, construction projects and social programs. If we gave monies to a organization and they were performing some social function and they were using those federal monies, then my job was to make sure that not only that they lived up to the letter of the contract, but that the scope of services were not too broad, that they couldn't accomplish what they set out to accomplish. Helped them, assist them, and then I handled the paperwork because they had to submit papers for payments. So I did that. So right now I'm retired. I'm on a lot of committees and I've been involved in the community, my church, you know, I belong to the Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption now.
Is that the real nice old cathedral?
The Gothic Cathedral,
okay.
Right. That's the one up on 11th Street.
Okay.
Yeah, 11th. I'm involved with that. It's on the council, the parish council. I'm on 5 other boards besides that. So it's that and that and then, and I have a 80-year-old mom that I'm helping. You know, I'm the only one here, so you know it requires a looking after her to make sure that she, you know, she gets things done. You know, you read the mail, you take care, making sure the house gets cleaned and make sure her meals and wheels are delivered and just a lot of and also I'm her chauffeur because as you get older. You become a prisoner in your own home. Because if you're not driving, you know, how are you going to get out? How are you going to get from point A to point B?
Sure.
So I have to, you know, make sure that her doctor appointments and all that kind of stuff.
You're a pretty busy guy for being retired.
To be retired, it makes it, yeah.
Well, let's go back to your early years. You say you attended Our Savior.
Our Savior,
tell
right.
me a little bit about that school and what made it unique.
It was the only, I don't know of any, well, it was the only one that I'm familiar with. There may have been one in Newport, a school, but many people from Newport, blacks, came to Covington, to Our Savior. It was made up of like 4 or 5 rooms. Each room contained 4 grades. At one time, Our Savior went from the 1st to the 12th grade, you could graduate from Our Savior.
Probably before you were there, I suppose?
That's correct, before I was there, right. We were taught by the Sisters of Divine Providence, I'm not going to say that it was the best education we could have received, but it was adequate, I guess, for the time. But it could have been. And the only reason that school was there was to make sure that blacks didn't go to white grade schools and high schools. That's the only reason it was there. The bishop, whom we all refer to, you know, like the bishop who runs that, he set up, you know, and created that church so that there wouldn't be integration.
Well, did he, do you remember that bishop's name?
Bishop Malloy.
And he was the head of the, I guess, Covington Diocese? Is
that's
that correct. Did he have the option, my understanding is, and I could be wrong, did he have the option to send blacks and whites in the same to the same school, even though it was a Catholic school back then?
I'm sure he did. Because,
really?
Yes, yeah. He would. I mean, he could have. If he felt that the law was unjust, then you test the law.
Okay.
And if you are good Catholic people, and you're the bishop and you want to do the right thing, then you challenge that by saying, I want these kids to go to St. Mary's, which was a white school, right,
okay,
that we could have went to,
okay,
that we could have gone to. And that, so it tells you something about when you think about Catholics, which is what I am, I'm not so naive that I will not criticize something when it's wrong.
Sure.
And that's, and that schools, you know, it should never have been. I mean, it should never. When I was young and I went to Our Savior, we were able to, for the first time, go to camp. We integrated Coney Island. I remember
over
when,
in Cincinnati.
I remember when Coney Island was integrated, right. I was involved in the sit-ins here in Covington for the integrating of, you know, when they pour ketchup on your head and all that. I went through all that. The shows, we integrated the shows that were here in Covington. The Madison Theater. In fact, the Madison is still there. The theater.
When did
is there.
That? When would a Covington sit-in have happened, roughly?
Oh, in the, let's see, I would say, oh, in the 60s.
Okay, so after
Before, well, actually, before the 60s. Before the 60s. I'd say maybe in the late 50s.
Okay.
Late 50s, right.
And you graduated in
61, right.
Okay, just to put things
in
perspective.
But I was the first minority to work in a supermarket, minority male to work in a supermarket in the city of Covington as a cashier.
What was the name of that supermarket?
Albers Supermarket.
Say it again.
Albers.
Okay.
Albers Supermarket. It was on 7th Street in Covington.
Okay.
Right on 7th Street. And they wouldn't let minorities even handle bread or anything.
Right.
You couldn't, because, and that's how we broke down prejudices in the supermarkets. I was the first. Everybody else that's come now came after me. You know. So
going back to Our Savior, can you describe, well, where was that school?
It's a 246 East 10th Street.
And is the building still there?
Yes,
not?
It is.
What shape's the building in now?
Good shape.
What's it? What is it now?
It's a it's like a meeting hall for activities, like things. We had the Martin Luther King celebration, and we had a breakfast there at the Melvin. They call it Melvin Taylor Hall. It's a hall. It's called Melvin Taylor, who was one of the members of that of Our Savior, and they named it after him, Melvin Taylor Hall.
Was he older than you?
Oh yes,
he was
definitely
founder of the school, or
he was there for quite some time. And he also did a lot of work working with the priest, and so they felt that he had contributed so much that they should have named him.
Who owns the building now?
The Diocese of Covington.
Still,
that's
okay.
Correct.
And was
and
it,
the church too?
Was it when you were attending that as a school, Our Savior? Was it strictly a school, or was it a school and church in one building?
It's two buildings.
Okay.
School, church.
They're both there now?
Yes, there's the school, the church, and the sister's house too.
Okay. All on the same property?
All on the same property.
And they're all still solid buildings.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the school and like how it operated. I mean, I just you know, a day at school.
We had to hand-me-down books. We didn't have the best. When they talk about separate but equal, we know that ain't true, because we didn't. The quality of the teaching was not on the par with white schools. You had four grades in one classroom, which isn't conducive toward, you know, learning well. So I would say, for what we were exposed to at Our Savior, I think a lot of us did extremely well when you think about accomplishments. Because, I mean, to go on to, like, let's say I went to Covenant Catholic and graduated, my brother did too, and my sister, who went to Our Savior, she graduated from Notre Dame. My sister is a retired colonel in the Army as a nurse, and she's also got her master's from Boston University.
She's older or younger than you?
She's younger.
A couple years?
Yes, two years between us. Okay. My brother was the oldest, and my brother was a retired major. He's no longer, he's deceased, but he was a retired major. So
Henry Hollis.
Henry, that's correct. And there's other people, too. I mean, there's other people that went on and did good, you know, tremendous things. With Backer, I mean, he went to Our Savior, and we have some artists that went to Our Savior that are over in Cincinnati. Robert Lee O'Neill comes to mind right away, Robert Lee. But if I had to rate the quality of the education, it was subpar.
Where were the teachers coming from?
They were Sisters of Divine Providence.
Oh, so these were nuns?
That's correct.
African-American nuns?
No, they were not.
White nuns?
All of them were white.
Really? So you had white teachers all through school?
That's correct.
Well, that's interesting. That's kind of a rare at the
that's true
in the era too. How did that work out? Did you
we could relate and communicate, because you were forced to, but you know, there was that idea that you thought that the church was doing you a favor in a way. They were giving you a good education, but they really weren't. When you, later on, you find that out, you know, your eyes are open, you know, and you see the forest and the trees. You can really see what was happening. We didn't, you know, heck, yes, you communicated, because what else did you have? You know, we didn't have any black teachers. If you want to go to a black school, you went to William Lincoln Grant, which was all black. And if you were Catholic, you were supposed to go to a Catholic school, and that was it. That's all we had. There was none. This is the only black Catholic church in the whole area. There are none in Covington. That's it, Our Savior. That's why it's still open.
What do you reckon was the grand total membership of the church back then?
Oh, it was good.
200 people?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say close to that, right. It's a small, tiny church, but it's unique. It's nice-looking, nice church.
Is it still operating?
Oh, yeah, yes, okay. Right. In a sense, between us and me personally, it shouldn't be, because, you know, once the school closed and people moved away after graduating, maybe going on to get a good education or a better education or maybe get a better job, it affects. When you're in school, you're sort of like channeling people into the church, because you go from school, you know, the parents are going to be getting involved with the church, so there's more participation. If the school closes, that cuts away from that feeders, I call
right.
them feedings.
Right.
But so now it's just there. And the reason it's there, two reasons, Sister Janet is the administrator, Sister Janet down at Our Savior. And she wants, and she's very hyperactive about keeping it open, because, you know, she feels that the blacks do not have a Catholic, and they would have to go to the cathedral. And some of them don't want to go, and it's not that many people there, a handful. How do you stay open? The way you stay open is that the Bishop Foy is going to keep it open probably until Sister dies, or until Sister is transferred, and then we'll probably close. Because I guess he feels he would be deserting those few black families, few, you can count them when you go to church, that attend Our Savior today. And personally, I think it should close.
That's on a practical matter and on an integration matter.
Well, on both. The fact that it's a drain on the diocese, I'm sure, because they're not paying, to keep those two buildings going, three really. That's what I'm saying. You have three buildings going.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have the monetary backing, so what do? But the reason is, like I said, it's staying open because it is the black church in Northern Kentucky.
And now you were clear about it was subpar and it was unequal to white Catholic schools.
Definitely.
Let me ask you this. And this was K through 8 school while you were there, Our Savior, right? Pretty much it was a...
It was one first to the 8th grade.
First through the 8th grade, excuse
right.
me. Okay. So there was no high school option there.
No.
Now, how do you suppose it compared to the black public school, which was basically around the corner at Lincoln Grant?
Yes.
How would you think, and you weren't attending Lincoln Grant, so you may not know the answer to this, but what's your impression as to the comparison between Our Savior first through 8th grade and Lincoln, which was really Lincoln school first through 8th grade?
Well, I'll put it this way. I went to kindergarten there.
At Lincoln Grant.
Right. Now, the teachers there, when you look at the quality, the background, the education, you had more doctors and on that,
master's degree.
They far outshined. I mean, in this whole area, you had more, probably, per student, at Lincoln Grant than you did it at many of the white schools, maybe even most of them. They were really, they had their stuff together when it came to education.
You're talking about the Grant teachers.
That's correct.
I've seen some of the yearbook entries, Harvard, Columbia. A lot of the teachers there did go to some Ivy League schools for masters and such. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And then you had nuns.
That's right, who had very little. I mean, some of them probably didn't even have a degree.
Right.
They didn't need a degree to teach us because we weren't supposed to go anyplace. Are you with me? Or we were supposed to work for white folks. So, and be subservient. And you keep people subservient by giving them a subpar education.
Do you feel that, looking back on it, at the time, how did the students regard the white nuns?
Well, they did. I mean, they communicated. You see, there is a misconception, I think, a lot of times that says that you can communicate to black people better if you're black. That's not necessarily the case. I mean, I know a lot of whites, many whites, that can probably get more out of a black child than some many black could not. I'm a tap dancer. I was a professional tap dancer. I mean, I've won all kind of things. I've been all, nationwide television. Ted Mack, Paul Whiteman, Ed Sullivan. Those are nationwide television. This is back when I was a little kid. I won an automobile when I was 11 years old. So, all of my teachers, with the exception of maybe one was black. Everybody was white, with the exception of one. All my teachers, my tap dancing teacher, I took ballet. Can you imagine back then, this guy was taking ballet?
Right.
Can you imagine so I had to be very strong. You know where I'm coming from?
Yes, I do.
Extremely strong. You do know. So you laugh tells it all.
You ended up in the Marines, so we understand, you tap dancer in the Marines is a unique path, but I get the point.
Yeah. Right. So, sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, and I'm not sure whether they had to find this at Grant, but a lot of times if it's an all black, the teachers are black, sometimes the school becomes mediocre. In other words, it seems to me like I'm not, you know, if you got the right kind of black teacher in there that really wants to see their students really succeed, then they're going to do a job. But some teachers, when they have all blacks and it's an all black school, have a tendency to say, "I'm just going to give you just enough," you know, and not really push and challenge the students. Those black schools where you see that, I don't care which one is. I know that the schools that are black, who have black teachers that are successful, have highly motivated black teachers getting it done. Highly motivated. And that's what you need. See, sometimes you have a tendency to say, I'll give you an example.
I think what you're saying
Okay. I'm gonna give you an example of what I'm talking about. There's an old adage that black people never get to a meeting on time. You know, there's black time, there's colored time or black time, and there's white time. Now, this guy is never late. Fred Hollis is never late. Now, if I was in charge of a meeting and it was made up of all black folks and I said the meeting started at 6 o'clock, what time do you think I'd start that meeting?
6 o'clock.
That's right. But a lot of black people will not do that because they say, we'll wait till we have enough people, then we'll start the meeting.
To include everybody.
Yeah, to include. But see, my thing is, if you know it starts at 6 o'clock, be there at 5 minutes till 6. And because I'm going to hold you to the same level that I hold white people.
Right.
So I'm not going to, say, oh, well, it's because they're blacks, we got to do it this way.
Right. No. I get what you're saying. No, and I'm guessing what you're hinting at with the way that black teachers at some black schools, you said that it kind of depends on who's really working as teachers and how motivated they are. You reckon that there was some back then, do you reckon that there was some attitude of you're only going to go so far anyway, society's got us down? Is that part of the logic?
It could very well be, definitely, because there was less opportunities,
right.
Like I said.
Why should we work these kids so hard? They're only going to be, not even that a bagger at the grocery store.
Right.
Which you were. And for the record, you were on time, if not early, for this interview, and I was the one who was late. So.
But I wanted to... I didn't mean it.
But you didn't start the interview without me, right?
That's right. I couldn't have done it. Couldn't have done it without you, right?
It's funny though. Yeah, that's how it
works. That's right.
That's very good. How long had the Catholic Church provided? I'm getting the feeling for the nuns. You sounds like you guys respected them. Would you say?
Yes, definitely.
The students respected
definitely.
Them.
Oh, definitely.
Did they instill some discipline on?
Very much so. That's one of the things that I think we felt that separated us from Grant. I think when we were in grade school, we thought that we were getting more discipline than the black schools. That we were more disciplined than.
You think that's true, looking back on it?
I'm not sure.
It's hard for you to know because you weren't in the black.
That's right.
Schools,
I wasn't. I could if I had been there. Yeah, but I think that we kind of handled certain things, like we go with the church every morning, every day before school we attended mass. So, I think that religious background helped keep a lot of us out of a lot of trouble.
Well, it would make sense. I don't know that I can declare this here, but Catholic schools tend to be more disciplined. There's a uniform involved. There's some ritual involved.
Like at Covington Catholic, you have to wear ties and
Did you have to wear a uniform in Our
tie?
Savior?
No uniform.
Okay.
Not a uniform at Our Savior.
Okay.
But see now at the white schools, they did.
Back then.
That's right.
Your white counterpart school.
That's right. They had the church. The girls wore the little dresses and the And the fellows wore the, I think they had ties too. In fact, right now today, Covington Latin, all the boys wear ties.
Sure.
Right.
And that's right behind the church. You're talking right the cathedral.
There. That's right.
You're talking about. Okay.
Right there.
How long had the Catholic Church provided a school for black students in Covington? I guess, was Our Savior the first one?
That was the only one.
Well, was there any before it, like maybe decades ago?
No of any.
And then when would Our Savior have opened, you think, roughly?
In the 40s.
40s, okay. And you started there probably what year?
I graduated
6 years old or so, maybe?
Yeah, right. Six. Right.
So that would have been about when?
That would have been about 48, 49.
Okay. So it had been there maybe a few years. You don't remember when it went up?
No, I don't.
Or when the school
I was
started.
Too young then.
Yeah, or maybe... Okay.
Right.
And it's the only one, I think you've already answered this too. It was the only black Catholic school in Northern Kentucky.
And it still is.
Okay.
And I think and the other one is St. Peter Claiborne down further south. That's it that I know of. St. Peter Claiborne and this one, all blacks.
You've kind of addressed this a bit, but maybe elaborate a little bit more. How did the Catholic Church or the diocese handle race relations?
There was, I think I've alluded to the fact that Bishop Malloy felt that that's why why Our Savior was created was to assure that, you know, blacks are not going to be mixing with the white kids here at St. Mary's. So they handled it by separate, they say, but equal. That's the Catholic Church. That was, I don't know if they said it was. It was separate, certainly, but certainly not equal, unequal. But that's how they handled it. They separated.
Were there, and then what about church on Sunday? Was
that's
that
correct.
Segregated
that's correct.
Just as much?
That's correct.
For the same reason,
that's
same
right.
location?
That's right.
But the nuns just happened to be, the nuns were the only white folks that were really involved
in
with
the,
Our
In
Savior.
The beginning, yes. Uh-huh.
When did that stop? You say in the beginning.
Well, what I'm saying is that later on, and we're talking about, this has been, what, maybe 5-10 years ago, white families would come and visit and go to church there. One of my good friends who is a Hall of Famer at LSU, Dick Maley, he used to go there and attend Mass. There was white families.
He was Stern, white?
Yeah, right.
And about your age, you say?
Yeah, he's the same age as me, right. And Stern Electric Company is a, they had a, all their family attended there. We had a deacon that recently died, Ed Sturich. He was involved at Our Savior for quite a few years. Let's see, all the priests, with the exception of one, were white.
So the administration of the school and the church was white,
definitely,
pretty much.
Definitely.
And then the people you just mentioned.
They came later.
But later meaning
integration.
60s?
Oh, yeah. Well, integration was, you know.
So after, as everything else was integrating.
That's opened
it was
up.
Integrating.
Right, right,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any race relations outside of the school or in the diocese? I mean, did black people ever petition the bishop or was there much?
You know, they accepted, the blacks accepted the fact that this was what we were going to get. I mean, this, you know, even today, they don't want to go to the cathedral. They want to stay at Our Savior. So there isn't that, you know, you think in many cities or in quite a few cities, they would say, hey, you know what, you know, this isn't happening here at Our Savior. We don't lose people. You know, we love our church, but I guess that's the only reason they stay at Our Savior's base, for the love of the church itself. But then, too, that's not bearing out with participation. I mean, the participation is just not there. There's not enough families to feed the church.
Right.
So, no, they didn't participate. I'll tell you what, there was a priest who helped us tremendous. He's a saint as far as I'm concerned. He's dead now. His name is Father Dye, D-Y-E. He was a professor at Villa Madonna. Now it's Thomas Moore College. Tremendous man. Like I say, he's a saint. He bought the guys uniforms so that they could play basketball against white kids. You know, at one time, they wouldn't let, well, you already know, oh, Glory, what's that movie? Not Glory, but that
Glory Road. Yeah.
That was the same way it was here in Covington. But see, he broke that down by getting uniforms and causing and having and inviting white kids to play
at our against our savior.
Yeah, right. In
like
basketball,
a seventh and eighth grade.
That's
team.
Right.
Okay,
that's right.
And he was white.
Yes,
professor
yes.
At Villa Madonna.
That's right. And he was a pioneer in integration. He and Monsignor Hellman, Father Dye, he caused black kids to go to Camp Marydale.
What's Camp Marydale?
It was a camp for kids to go away, day camp for a week. The white kids said they were not going to go to Camp Marydale if black kids were there. And he says, well, I'll put it to you this way. Many of the other priests said, hey, you know what? What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? He says, oh, yeah, sure am. I'm a Catholic priest, you know? And he says, if they don't go, then no white kids go.
Had the authority. Father Dye. This is still Father Dye. Okay.
Right. It was his property. I mean, in other words, he had loaned it or whatever to the diocese, and he's saying that, you know what? If these black kids don't go, if it weren't for him, and it was expensive to go to camp, if it weren't for him, I would never would have went to camp. I have friendships from grade school because I went to camp in Marydale.
So he declared it would be integrated or no camp
at all. That's right. And only one child dropped out.
One white child.
That's right.
And what was it? Mostly whites, I'm guessing,
Oh, yes, yeah. It was all whites in Our Savior. Okay. That's what it was.
And it was a Catholic camp.
That's correct. Okay. It was all whites in Our Savior.
How'd the camp go?
Tremendous.
Everybody get along?
Oh, yes.
Little kids?
No problem at all.
Huh. And this is some of the things that you remember this man for. Oh, does the black community remember him in general?
When a person wants to do, what is right, he stand alone up against the bishop, who didn't want it to happen, and a lot of priests, who were monarchs or whatever you want to call them. They were like the leading priests.
Patriarchs.
Yeah, of the other priests, they were the oldest and the most powerful. He backed them all down,
and he still withstood. He still maintained his position.
Most definitely, that's right. That's right.
Hmm.
Yes.
Was tuition? Did Our Savior charge tuition?
Very cheap, very little tuition because they felt that you couldn't afford that. And also, think about, I told you, the quality of the education was commensurate with how much you paid too.
So where the schools weren't equal, the tuition was a fair price for what you got. Is that what you're saying?
You might as well say because it was so subpar, and you paid subpar.
So you paid more to go to the white Catholic school, but of course you got much better, more for your money.
Most definitely. Okay. And the whites were making a lot more money than the black families were.
Parents were, right.
So they could afford to do that. But it didn't have to be that way. The bishop could have subsidized to the point where they brought in better teachers. They could have done that. In fact, when you look at quality of teachers, some of the best teachers, they're teachers at Notre Dame. Those they're teaching the females out there across the street from Covenant Catholic. There's a female excellent teacher. We're known all over the United States for their, but they get higher degrees compared to, I guess what I'm really saying is that probably Sisters of Divine Providence, they don't, it's not, as far as education, I don't know, back then it didn't even require maybe a degree because
they didn't. I'm sure. I think even today you can. Well, I'm not sure about this, mm-hmm. but there's a lot less regulation on a private right. school. I do know that. So,
right. And you, the quality of the education you receive is commensurate with how you know their education too. I mean, in as much as teachers, you know, probably felt that well, you know, they can't learn this, you know, when it comes to minorities. But we've proven that's not the case.
Sure.
Motivation is what it's all about. And if you instill that in child, they can learn anything. They can learn, you know, they can exceed far past their limited intelligence, for that matter.
Did Father Dye or any other, I guess, advocates push other limits, like letting, you know, you were talking about him pushing a limit to ensure that the black student kids could go to this Catholic school church-sponsored camp.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any other limits that Father Dye or anybody else pushed?
Oh, you know, they had a, what do you call it? They had a, what was that? It was some type, it was like an interracial organization where blacks and whites would even come together, have a meeting, and then go out to various social things, not social, but let's say, well, yeah, social dinners together to let people see that blacks and whites could get along.
Who put those together?
I think it was Father McClanahan. He was another priest at Our Savior. Congress of Racial Equality, the CORE, was active, very active in the community and in our church, not totally, but I mean, NAACP and CORE, Congress of Racial Equality, were the black organizations that had a lot of influence upon upward mobility when it came to minorities. And so blacks would be got involved with those organizations too. So, but Father McClain, I don't know of any priest at Our Savior that really tried to hold minorities back as far as integration. I don't remember any, per se. The ones that I knew, either they didn't hold us back or they did nothing. So in other words, I guess by omission, maybe they were holding us
back.
But
there was some effort to have some levels of integration.
That's correct.
Outside the school day.
That's
Or at the camps.
And then having bingos at the school, at the church, and inviting whites to the bingos and fish fries and things like that. And then having whites help us with our annual, we had an annual, what do you call that thing, festival. And whites would help us with setting up the booths, loan us booths, we didn't have any, so that we could put on our festival to make money for the church. Mm. That was the way it stayed in existence.
But it sounds like it was the diocese, the Bishop Malloy, and the higher ups that weren't real eager to
That's correct.
To make the integration happen any sooner than it had.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and your brother went from Our Savior, the all-black Catholic grade school, on up to Covington Catholic High School, which, you know, what happened before that? Did pretty much as people left Our Savior, they went to Grant? Was that a foregone conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
If you were in the 8th grade and you were going to go into the 9th grade.
And you didn't want and you didn't guess right. You
went that was to, you the went one and only option
That's
around
right.
here,
That's
I guess.
It. That was it.
And then
when Grant closed, then the other option was, well, not even, yeah. When Holmes integrated, then they started going to Holmes.
So first of all, what was a class like at Our Savior, like in terms of, like when you were in the 8th grade, what was the grand total number of 8th graders there, maybe? Like 20 or something, or?
I'd say that. That's about around.
And then the whole school building would have had maybe 200 or so?
Less than.
100?
When I was there. Yeah, we had four classrooms. Let's see, three classrooms. One, two, three, right. There's three classrooms. And I would say it was less than 100.
Grand total enrollment.
Yeah, you're
okay,
right.
Okay, so a class would be little. Probably less than 20 then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it probably would. That's okay. True. It would be less than 20. Yeah, I said 20, but you're right. It would be.
So, yeah, I mean, when you're going from the eighth, if you're an eighth grade student at Our Savior in 1950, it was Grant. It was pretty much Grant. You went to Grant. There was no other option. That's correct, right? Right? Okay, so at some time, I guess the Brown v. Board of Education, Brown versus Board of Education decision came down in 1954.
And my brother went to Covenant Catholic in 1957.
Okay, so about the time that public schools in Northern Kentucky were integrating, it took a year or two to really
That's right.
start.
And
he was the first black to go to Covenant Catholic.
First black in Northern Kentucky.
Did he go alone?
Yes.
He's not around anymore, right?
No.
Can you recall a little bit about him and his experiences? I mean, surely he came home from school and talked about Covenant Catholic.
You know, he actually was treated quite well at Covenant Catholic. I mean, you know, they wanted him to be on the cheerleading. They wanted him to be in all of the, if they had a class play. They kind of looked up to my brother in a lot of respect. Because my brother was pretty bright, too. He wasn't no dummy. But the Hollises command respect. And I think that, you know, if he had been weak, somebody, and I'm sure probably some things happened that he just didn't feel that it was necessary to voice maybe, or he handled it himself at the school. I mean, with the person or with the, Marinus Brothers taught at Covenant Catholic at the time. So it was pretty disciplined. So if he had a problem, those Marinus Brothers would have taken care of it. You know,
looked after him, you think?
Oh, definitely.
So you get the feeling the teachers were welcoming of him.
Definitely.
And protecting
definitely.
Of him.
Definitely.
But you also get the feeling that the students were generally very much open arms.
Yeah, they didn't, you know, like his, when we had a car, nobody threw eggs at our car. I was there with my brother because he graduated 2 years ahead of me, or 1 year. I was there for 1 year with my brother, I guess. I was never called out of my name. I mean, nobody called me, the N-word was never used around me. I had friendships from grade school on up. I know white boys that we've been friends since grade school, and they're still alive, quite a few of them. And I carried that into high school because we went to the same high school also. So the transition was it was pretty easy for me because I was around people that I knew. Because being Catholic and being in other organizations that or being a celebrity, being a tap dancer, you know, you're treated a little bit special, you know, when you're, especially if you're any good. So that opened me up to a lot of whites and I had a lot of publicity. Radio, television, all that. I auditioned for Ted Lewis, me and my shadow. There's a guy in the back who is the shadow, and his guy is up here moving around, which is well known all over the United States and all over the world, really, he performed. And I did that at an early age. I mean, I was winning television sets and watches and rings and all that stuff. You know, I mean, I'm 7, 8, 10 years old. So I guess I was treated a little bit differently, too.
You kind of had a celebrity status. It's like a real good basketball player.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
Going to the
we want
the
them around you, you know.
Yeah.
You want that guy around you, you know. So,
right.
Yeah. And I wore suits every day. I wore a suit to school every day at Covenant Catholic.
Was that was there any kind of dress code there?
Shirt and tie, but I wore a suit. I've been wearing suits since I was in grade school.
What's the reason for that?
I just liked wearing suits, so that set me apart too. I'm the best dressed guy in class. Right. I'm the cleanest guy in class. Who do you want to be around? That myth that, oh, they're dirty. You can't, I mean, the myth bubbles broke.
You debunked them.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it, yeah. Doing it, right.
Is that part of why you dress?
No,
that
I just do. I do.
Just like style.
I worked for 22 years for this, you know, city of Covington, a suit every day. I never wore a sport coat and a pair of pants. I wore a suit every day.
Did your parents guide you into this? You think?
Yeah. Or? They made it. We were the cleanest kids in the whole city. Very clean. You talk about crystal clean, squeaky clean. Yeah.
You know, before your brother was more, before your brother, do you recall what, do you have any older brothers or sisters?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Do you know of anybody that, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get at here, was there a desire to go to Covington Catholic back when you couldn't? I mean, were they ever down about it going to Grant, the folks that left Our Savior? Was that just a foregone conclusion?
There were people that could have went to Covington Catholic when my brother did, but they chose to go to DePoors in Cincinnati. You ever heard of DePoors?
I have heard of it, but don't know anything
about
it.
I don't know very much about it either. I just know that it's
a Catholic. Is that
I think it is. I think it's a Catholic school.
Okay.
And a friend of mine who was a track star, he said he couldn't go to Covenant Catholic. He didn't think that he was able to be able to do that. So they had the opportunity, but then, you know, you had to pay. I mean, the tuition was not all that cheap. But the diocese subsidized a portion of the tuition, so allowing blacks to go if they chose to. So there was, let me see, I would say there was, at the time, myself, Jimmy Jennings, Basil, and my brother. So I'd say when integration first took place, my brother was the first, Jimmy was second, I was third, and I think Basil was fourth. So there was only four graduates. So there wasn't an onrush. You see, a lot, you feel comfortable many times, well, you do anyway. I mean, you feel comfortable around people that you know and the people that you can trust and that you don't have to be concerned. So why put yourself in a situation where you think you might not get along and you feel you might be ostracized, which is not the case. With me, a white kid named Johnny O'Brien, who later went to the Marine Corps also and was highly decorated with Purple Hearts and that, we ate lunch every day. Every day that he was there, I was there every day. Sometimes he didn't make it, but when he did, he ate with me. Now,
white kid.
Yes, and not only him, but others too. But I mean, it was almost as if we felt that we wanted to eat because we enjoyed each other's friendship. And still today, same way. He and his brother also. So, yeah, there wasn't this onslaught, hey, I want to rush to go to Covenant Catholic. Because, I mean, in many respects, I think blacks distrusted Covington Catholic. They felt that they, even though there were some blacks that are going there, they felt that they didn't necessarily want you there, you know. So I stay where I'm feel more comfortable.
Which would be Grant.
That's correct. It would be definitely.
But you and your brother's experience is that they were very accepting of you. But a lot of people didn't know that till they got, unless they went there.
And they didn't really care to know it too, a lot of them. They cared to believe
the assumption
that
the white person would
reject
you.
That all of them would.
Right.
You know? Right. But they so.
Was Covington Catholic in the same location it is now?
Yes.
That's out there on Dixie Highway?
That's correct.
Right? Okay.
Right.
You talked to me the other day about a little bit about a lot of people didn't, you just now said there wasn't a big rush for the black populace to to go up there, and you told me the other day that some viewed you as a sellout for going there.
Oh, yeah.
Is
well,
that fair to say?
Yeah, because, you see, when you go to a basketball game, who do you cheer for?
Well, if you attend Covenant Catholic, you cheer for Covenant Catholic.
But blacks wouldn't feel that way.
Because they would have a heart, because Grant's still the black institution.
That's right.
And
I'm black.
Right.
So why should I, even though I'm getting educated at Covenant Catholic, why should I cheer for Covenant Catholic? In other words, they didn't feel like you owed that type of
loyalty.
That's right, to the school that you're going to. The education that you're getting your education from.
Well, who did you? Let me ask you. Who did you root for?
I rooted for Covenant Catholic.
Because you identified with Covenant Catholic.
That's correct.
Totally.
And, right.
You still are friendly to people at Grant.
Definitely.
And knew.
Definitely.
But when it came down to schools, your loyalty was up there.
That's right. Now there are some blacks that probably wouldn't have done that.
They might have chosen to go, but.
That's right.
To get the education during the day, but they would have hung out socially with the crowd at Grant, probably.
Right.
Which did you hang socially outside of the school day and outside of official school activities? Did you hang out more with
both
Covington Cath kids or Grant kids? Pretty
both.
Even?
Yes, yeah. Oh, I mean, I have so many white friends, it's unreal. I mean,
you reckon your brother and those other guys that went there for the same way?
Oh, definitely.
Pretty. Okay.
Now there's one guy, a friend of mine, whom I grew up with, that never goes to a reunion. You know, when you have those reunions, he never goes.
And he graduated from?
Covenant Catholic.
Okay.
And so there's a situation that
he still never felt accepted or part of the institution.
Without a doubt, he did not. So okay. He's never gone back. He has no loyalty toward the school at all.
Did he graduate there?
Yes.
Was he treated okay there, as far as you know?
As far as I know, he was.
But still identifies with the
That's
black
correct.
Community
That's
down
correct.
Here.
Yeah, if you put up that wall, then it's hard to get past it, you know. Some people don't never go through that wall. And quite frankly, it hurts them. It hurts a lot of whites, too, when they can't get past the wall, especially if their supervisor is a black person or a black female or is a female, period.
Right.
So, you know, that's a wall.
That had been decided whether or not that guy really experienced or not. It was a foregone conclusion, it sounds like. Did blacks go to other Catholic schools back then? Because there's several in Northern Kentucky, right? Several white Catholic schools around here.
Right, they didn't go to any.
Covenant Catholic was the sole one to accept blacks in the late 50s, early
60s. That's correct.
That
and
changed.
They weren't. What?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They didn't go to any other, white schools.
This wasn't done.
No, even in grade school, not even in grade school. Remember, I told you about St. Mary's and.
Right, but I'm talking about come 1958, 1960.
No.
Would you see like what? For example, name for me some other high schools around here, Catholic high schools.
Holy Cross.
Newport Catholic.
Newport Catholic.
Right.
Name me Beechwood. No, Catholics.
St. Henry.
St. Henry's. Oh, now later on, the Perkinses went to St. Henry's, and there was at St. Henry's a resentment. And
to who? What do you mean?
To the black kids.
They weren't welcomed very well.
No, and guess what? They're very light. You know what I mean? When I
sure.
say real light, I mean almost white looking. All of them. Now,
where had they come from? Our Savior?
Yes. Right, that's right.
Our
that's
Savior.
Right. And then they moved to Erlanger.
Okay.
Or Ellesmere. Right.
Well, Ellesmere's got a small black community.
That's right. That's where Bradford.
Billy Bradford, right.
Right. Right. And they were not accepted like we were at Covenant Catholic. Very less acceptable. But that shows that rural out there in the sticks mentality too, because a lot of the people that we went to school with were doctor's sons and lawyer's sons, and I'm not saying that they were all that liberal, but yet that
closer to the city.
Yeah, that's right.
You probably had more encounters with black people at a younger age.
Very true. That's very true. Then out
St. Henry becomes more removed out there back then.
That's where it was.
It's not that far.
But 40 years ago,
that was further out.
That's correct. Right, and they had farms out there then. I mean, cattle and all that.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and those cattle people out there, they didn't. No, they very less acceptable.
Understood. Now, I'm guessing today, you know, into the 70s and such, there was probably a greater number of black Catholics going to Cub Cath or wherever.
I'm not sure how many go to Covenant Catholic now, but I go to First Friday Mass the first Friday of every month. I attend Mass at Cub Cath. I've never seen a black child at Mass. Now, there probably are some blacks, but I've never been introduced to one.
Okay, so it's a.
But I'm sure there may be a two or three. I'm not. I could. I think there may have been one who they recruited for sports. Oh yeah, there has been some there. I take that back, because one boy they kicked off the team at one time, but I never saw him play. There are a few.
Is it counted?
That's right.
The same as it's always been.
That's correct. Your family
and a few others. If I opened a Cub Cat yearbook,
you might see three or four or five, maybe. Five would be probably a crowd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some of these questions I think you've answered, like did geography play a decision? Some of the blacks that were at Our Savior and then went to Grant, I mean, you know, you chose to go. Sounds like you're a little bit more involved in the Catholic Church.
Your faith
is maybe stronger.
I didn't stay at Our Savior either, see? I mean, I moved.
You went on to the integrated
cathedral. But we supported Our Savior all those years we were there. My mother and my sister used to wash the things that you put on the altar and all that. You probably don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've ever been to a Catholic church, you know that they have all these white things and they're linen and all that. My mother used to wash those and iron those for nothing.
For our Savior.
My mother and our family ran a dance, paid a quarter to get in it at the time. It was back in the 60s. To support that church, to help keep it open, to make sure that it had. We used to go and get. When people would die and they gave this funeral home the flowers, they gave them to us so that we could decorate our altar. So, you know, we did, and that quarters paid for to support that, because they were about probably 100, 200 kids easy, more than that. Yeah, at least 200, probably 200 kids every Friday night.
Hmm.
Every Friday night we had a dance. And those quarters, man, really, you know, really helped a whole lot. And they added up a lot. So, you know, we were very loyal to our Savior.
You graduated in 1961. Were there any, how many total in your, how many black kids in your graduating class?
None.
Just you, one.
That's
you.
Right, me.
Okay, and then what, you know, what'd you do after high school?
I went to college.
Where you went to?
University of Cincinnati.
Okay, right. And then you later on went to NKU for.
Just recently I went back to school and got another degree from NKU.
Okay,
so postgraduate.
But you went your traditional college work or your initial
University of Cincinnati.
Work, University of Cincinnati.
Right.
How'd that go? Did you experience any
no
racism?
Yes, I did, from one teacher. I sure did. Yeah. In fact, he told. The head of the department that he wanted to kick me out of the class or something. He made up something, and they didn't get rid of him. They let me go to another class. But this guy just hated me. In fact, there was only two blacks in the class. He wanted to get rid of both of us. So yes,
that made it clear.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And what'd you major in there?
Oh, in a real estate at UC.
Okay.
That's a Bachelor of Science degree there.
And then what did you do after college?
I worked with Vote Sage and Flynn Community Organization. I was a community, you actually are a consultant at Bloomington, Indiana, where Bobby Knight, and I did a Model Cities program. I managed also the Fay Apartments in Cincinnati.
Fay?
F-A-Y. The largest, at one time it was the largest FHA project in the United States. 1,025 units. Right there. It's still there.
Where is it?
Westward Norland Boulevard. It's right up on the hill. If you're driving out west, if you go off of Westward Norland Boulevard, Baltimore Avenue, it's the one that you hear all of the shootings and things taking place. Fay Apartments.
Okay.
Yeah, I managed that.
Now, when did you go into the service?
I was 25 years old when they drafted me.
Oh, you were drafted?
Yes.
And then did you go to, you went to Vietnam?
13 months.
How long were you, when did you get drafted?
1968.
How'd that go?
I was 25 years old.
Okay.
Very rough. The service was very hard. I'm older than my drill instructors. My drill instructors, only one drill instructor was as old as me. And they're, you know, telling me what to do and, you know, it's not a...
You had your college degree and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, it's all right. That, right. Yeah, so...
How do you feel that, just as some closing questions here, but how do you feel that your experience at Our Savior, CoveCath, what did that do for you through your life? Or how did it impact your overall experience?
I think that the religious aspect of it helped me a lot because, I mean, I was an altar boy. I was given a lot of responsibility when it comes to when they wanted to put on the right face. They would always make sure that I was involved carrying the bishop's trail. He used to have a trail, a long, like royalty. And the Bishop Malloy, the good bishop that we talked about. And my eyes were blinded. I didn't really see, but I found out later, you know, what type of person he really was. Anyway, and being a tap dancer, man, we go to these schools. And I took voice, ballet, and tap dancing. And
in
fact,
CoveCath?
No, at private.
Private, outside of school.
Right,
okay.
Right. And Notre Dame nuns taught me voice. Okay. And I used to tap dance at all of their functions that they wanted to, you know. So I think that the religious aspect of it and being always like on a debate team at Our Savior or being a good speller and competing against white kids at Blessed Sacrament and St. Henry's. And really, not having any fear or not having any reservations about who I am and what I think tap dancing really helped me whole more so than, but the combined the tap dancing with it, raising your self-esteem, you're up here, people look at up to you, winning contests. Merrydale, where I said I went, I won all the contests. Every, they call it talent night. I win every time, you know. So anyway, and the kids remember that, you know. And then when I went to high school, a lot of those same kids were in high school with me. You know,
so they'd already seen you perform.
Definitely.
Or whatever.
They knew, that's right. They knew who I was. They knew what I was all about. And they knew that I liked Fred Hollis. I do like me. I'm not in love with Fred Hollis. But then, too,
self-esteem.
Yeah, I don't have low self-esteem at all. So the religious and religion and having a strong mother and father, more so than, well, school, I'd say Our Savior, yeah. Got me started in the right direction. I just put it that way. And I remember fondly of all that I did at Our Savior. And I can't say any. I mean, I can't say more than the fact that I'm happy. I'm glad I went to Our Savior. But and then it, you know, and also I'm sorry I didn't went to Our Savior because of the what you would say, the education, subpar education that I received.
Compared to
Lincoln Grant, right. I think I could have probably done or went into something maybe even, you know, I don't know, something more or did some other things possibly, but that's hindsight. But still, I wish I could have went to St. Mary's.